This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton, and joining me on the podcast today is TMZ camera operator and host of the Swift Tea Podcast, Melanie Miller.
Thank you.
How are you, Melanie?
I feel great.
Let's just cut to the chase on stories today because OJ Simpson has died. He's died at age 76.
Damn, that's early.
Obviously, he's one of the most infamous high-profile Americans of all time, and we've learned that he's died of prostate cancer. Well, he's been battling prostate cancer for a little while now. He's been in hospice for the past few months, and we've thought for a while things are looking pretty grim. And then just minutes ago, Melanie, there was a tweet on OJ Simpson's Twitter account. It says, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. The Simpson family. So it's interesting when someone infamous dies. Yeah. Like, you don't know what emotion you should feel. I mean, obviously he lived a pretty long life. 76 isn't bad. But yeah, one of the most internationally almost famous murder cases. Well, that he got off. He got off on the criminal side. He was found liable on the civil side of
things. Right, had to pay the money. You know what all I'm thinking about right now, though, is like, I wish, like, right before he died, he would have been like, I'm dying. Yeah, I did it. You know?
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
That would have been, yeah, a deathbed confession.
We deserved it.
Try to get into heaven. He did write that book, If I Did It. If I Did It. But yeah, so obviously he stood trial for the double murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. I don't think Ron Goldman gets the sort of like recognition he deserves. People always talk about...
He's the Christina Aguilera to the Britney Madonna kiss.
Right. But yeah, Ron Goldman, obviously in the 90s, and he was acquitted. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. And they acquitted him. So he died in Las Vegas. He lived there for many years now.
Yeah.
Just kind of doing a bit of social media stuff, playing a bit of golf.
He had a good end of his life. He was always dancing with women, playing golf.
Yeah, we used to see him at bars all the time. But yeah, so he's died at 76. This will be probably an ongoing story as we unwrap more details of how this came to be. Okay, into our normal-ish show now. You had a busy day yesterday. You interviewed JoJo Siwa, the inventor of gay pop. So we'll talk about that shot. Margot Robbie is back at it. She did the Barbie movie. Now she's doing the Monopoly movie. So that's pretty interesting.
She's going to go down as the best producer in Hollywood.
She might, man. She's just going to rack up these wins, these easy wins, I think.
She's being smart.
We'll talk about, kind of reluctantly, Donald Trump. He's handing out fried chicken to black people in Atlanta, trying to get votes in Atlanta.
Giving racist.
Yeah, well, he needs to win there, so he's doing his best. But to begin with, JoJo Siwa, she kind of knows the internet is against her. That was my takeaway from your clip. But
yeah,
she's walked back her claims that she invented gay pop. And basically she says that she can't say anything right. Everyone's going to twist things anyway. Let's have a listen to some of your clip now, Melanie.
Okay.
But a lot of people are saying that there was a lot of icons that have come before you.
So many, so many. Gosh, I saw even Betty Who made a post being like, hey, and I'm literally friends with Betty. Like, I Madonna, Lady Gaga, fucking Michael Jackson. There's so many people who have made gay pop. I think I just want to make it more clear that gay pop is a genre.
Okay. What are your takeaways from it, Melanie?
Everyone hates JoJo. And during the interview, I was like, dang, like, I actually like her. I feel like she's just trying to do her best and, like, make her own stuff. And people just dislike her to dislike her.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
She's not as bad as the internet makes her out to be, is what I felt during the interview.
Well, I don't think she's a bad person. I just think she's got almost a false sense of self. Her new persona just isn't hitting for me. It's just a persona. It's
why?
She's just trying to rebrand herself because she's old now, older now. She's only 20. But so she's trying to, I don't know who her target market is. Who are JoJo Siwa fans of this new JoJo Siwa?
Why does she have to have a target market? And can't she just go through changes and just like kind of make art as she's experiencing it? And can't we all just sort of make mistakes?
Yeah, but to call that new music video of hers Karma art is a stretch, I think.
It was kind of cool.
Wow, Melanie. Now I've figured out who her target market is. Are you serious?
No, have I watched the video? No, have I seen the clips? Like, do I care about watching JoJo Siwa? No, I don't. But I don't care at all. Like, I'm not going to be, like, comment on the internet like, whoa, what an idiot, because I just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I would never, I'm not a comment on the internet type person too, but I text my friends.
That's doing more effort than commenting on the internet.
Because JoJo Siwa is the person of this moment that people love to hate. Like, she is. And I think it's because she tries so hard to, like, convince you of something, and I just don't buy it. And I don't know who her fans are, honestly, because her fans of the Bow era, when she was doing a dancing, that sort of stuff, it's girls growing up, that sort of stuff. But now she's rebranded to this dark, gay, you know, pop star, even though she says, look, I can't sing, I'm just there trying to perform. I don't know who, like, the crazy JoJo Siwa fans are anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because of the fact that blows me away that you text your friends about how much you hate her. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But would you go to see her concert just for the sheer fact that you're like, I gotta know what's going on because I gotta figure out more ways to hate her?
Absolutely not. Yeah, would I go to see JoJo Siwa in concert?
I could see you there.
You would see me at a JoJo Siwa concert?
I could see you in the back being like, this is horrible. I hate everything.
I'll watch the clips the next day. I think, honestly, who I think her target market is people like me who are hate clicking on things.
Yeah.
I think she's almost monetizing.
Tapped into it.
People clicking. I've watched the video. I listened to Call Her Daddy podcast for the first time yesterday because she was on it. And I just wanted to revel in, like, what is going on with this girl? I think she should just, like, either go away for a little while. Like, she's doing too much.
You're obsessed.
I am obsessed. Or she should just do this dance school thing. Just become a dance school instructor.
I think she's right. She told me that she isn't the inventor of gay pop, that she took that back, that she was the chief marketing officer. And I think that, sorry, I'm tapping the table. I think that she's right because, like, she's so good at marketing. Like somebody like you that doesn't care about anything is just oozing with anger and can't wait to, like, word vomit about her.
But, like, I've listened to the song that she says, you know, makes her this now marketing officer for gay pop. And it's just, it's such a bad song. Like, it's not, like, it's so...
Not a bad song.
It's poorly done. The lyrics aren't there. I mean, she didn't even write it.
First of all, it was written by Rock Mafia, which turned out like a million hits for Miley Cyrus.
It was written over a decade ago, though. And I think it belongs over a decade. Like, it would have made sense in I think it was 2012 when it was first coming out. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense back then. It would have been kind of edgy. Nowadays, like, we've seen all this, like, social media and stuff. We've seen all this.
I just don't get what makes it so 2012.
It just would have been edgy back then. And in the year 2024, it's kind of like, okay, like, give me something new.
Like, what would you want her to do?
Invent a new genre of music if that's what she wants to do. Like, I'm not for it. I'm glad that she's got one fan out here. We did not realize.
Yeah, she does.
Well, congrats. I mean, there you go. I'm happy for you too. Okay.
But happy for you. I'm happy for you.
Okay, thank you. We're happy for each other.
Jesus Christ.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Okay, Donald Trump is handing out Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. He went to the most famously Christian fast food joint, like they're not open on Sundays, so Christian, and he handed out fried chicken and milkshakes to everybody there. Let's listen to some of the clip now.
So can I have 30 milkshakes and also some chicken? I'm going to take care of the customers. This business is good. You're making a lot of money. Rich, right?
It's a great franchise. The owner is a great man who's a member of one of my clubs, and he's fantastic. And yeah, they do very well. They're closed on Sunday.
There you go. Proof. He lost Georgia in 2020 by under 12,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting on a big push. He's trying to woo black voters however he can to take him away from Biden. What do you think about these sort of stuntish type things?
I, if we have to sit here for another 4 years with this jackass, it's truthfully just, it feels cringe to watch everything he does.
Yeah.
And like the way that he's like, oh, we're all getting rich. Like, no, the people behind the counter are making minimum wage, buddy. Like, nobody's getting rich behind the counter.
Right. I mean, the reason I kind of wanted to talk about it on the show today was because these sort of stunts, I don't like them either, but these sort of stunts just seem to work and cut through and people cover them. Like there was a White House state dinner last night with Robert De Niro, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook, some other famous people probably, and well, Biden obviously. And
no
one's even talking about anything like that. But Donald Trump goes to a fast food restaurant in Atlanta and plays to race, plays to religion, and I'm seeing it everywhere. Like that sort of the stunts might just win him the presidency again, I reckon.
It's like just the JoJo Siwa thing. They're just troll. It's just a troll.
He's just a troll. But yeah, so I think that it's probably a good move, what he's doing. Like,
why?
What he's doing is working, I think. Like,
you think that the people behind the counter and the people he bought food for are like, he bought me a $10 sandwich. Maybe I will vote for him.
I mean, they look pretty happy.
They were
pretty stoked when they saw him.
I'd take a free sandwich and be like, thanks.
I would not.
And then flip him off as I walk away, like when he turns his back.
Yeah, but I'm just like, he's just going to be doing more of these little stuntish type stuff. And the fact that he dominated the media cycle to win the presidency in the first place, he's ramping it up again. He's going to dominate the media cycle.
But he dominated the news cycle last time and he still lost.
I don't know. Worrying times.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you secretly want him to win for the content?
No way.
I'm just asking.
No way. I want him to lose for my daughter's sake and their
simple question.
Kids and I don't know.
Like a small piece of you.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Just asking.
Absolutely not. Okay. Moving on to our next story. Margot Robbie is producing a Monopoly movie. This is a follow-up to her Barbie movie. She's producing these movies based on things we're nostalgic about now. She's about to appear in a Sims movie, The Sims, which she's helping produce and star in. Oh, this is news to you.
I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't know this. That's so smart.
It is just like, she's not making like art house, interesting, edgy films, you know, that would win her Oscars probably. I mean, I think Barbie won a couple, but it kind of got shut out. But I don't really think that's the point. I think just making these nostalgic movies is something people all go and see.
But I feel like she'll win an Oscar either way because she's kind of doing the Leonardo DiCaprio thing where it's like, just give her one already.
Yeah, she'll get one eventually when she decides to go down a more artsy route. But like, It's such a good idea. You know what other movie's coming out? The Polly Pocket movie, a Hot Wheels movie, an Uno movie, an American Girl doll movie.
Oh, talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, we went through our superhero movies era. And now we're going to go through our like nostalgia era.
Finally, we're getting something exciting and interesting. Like the studios listened to us. They said, okay, we hear you. We're sick of these goddamn superhero movies. Finally, this is the most exciting thing I've heard in the last year.
Wow. What about Travis and Taylor getting together?
Well, you of know, course.
Of course.
That doesn't count.
Of course. That.
But like American Girl doll, a Monopoly movie. Like, and you know it's going to be good because it's Margot Robbie. And she's going to give us some interesting take that we never even thought of.
I mean, I'm sure they'll be good and watchable. And
The
I mean,
Sims?
The Sims. Like, every TV show seems to be either a reboot or, like, just, like, a prequel or a sequel. Or everything is, like, just coming back. Whatever we loved in the 90s and the...
We're obsessed with nostalgia right now.
We are.
We're obsessed.
You know another movie that's coming out soon?
What?
By the guy who made Cocaine Bear. You know that Cocaine Bear movie?
Yeah.
He's making a Magic 8-Ball movie. You know the Magic 8-Ball?
Yeah.
How you shake it and it like comes up with an answer?
Yeah.
There's going to be a movie based on that toy.
Damn, we're finally getting good movies.
I mean, yeah.
This is great.
It is kind of good. I'm over superhero movies. I'm down for this nostalgia movies. All right, Melanie. Thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Great work with JoJo Siwa.
Thanks for your help. Shout out to you for talking that over with me.
I just gave you all my hate questions. Got to ask her that. I'd love her on the pod, actually. Maybe I'll reach out and ask
you
her.
I feel like she'd do it. Actually.
I feel like she would do it too, but hopefully she doesn't hear this episode. Okay. Thanks for joining me, Mel. Good luck out there today. And high five. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.